This is Radio Times here on WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm Marty Moscoe, and there's going to be an unusual concert this Sunday night at the 23rd Street Armory in Philadelphia. Symphony for a Broken Orchestra, written by Pulitzer Prize-winning composer David Lang, will have its debut performed on broken musical instruments from the School District of Philadelphia. Our guest Rob Blackson asked music teachers to drop off broken instruments at Temple Contemporary, where he is art director. He received about 1,000 of them, hung some on the walls of the gallery, and got the idea for a symphony. These instruments can also be adopted, fixed, and returned to the schools for students to play. Rob Blackson joins us here in our Philadelphia studio. Nice to have you with us on Radio Times.
Thank you, Marty.
Also with us is Selena Valles, and she is music teacher at Pan American Academy Charter School. And Selena, nice to have you with us on Radio Times as well.
Thank you. It's my pleasure.
Nice to have you with us. And she has brought some instruments which she will be playing during this portion of the show. Let me go first to you, Rob, though. What sparked this idea?
Well, it goes back more than 2 years now. You may remember that back in 2013, the School District of Philadelphia closed over 24 schools across the city, mostly in communities of color. And as part of our work at Temple Contemporary, we often do our programming in response to an advisory council that's drawn from people from all across the city. And as we were doing this work and wondering about these closed schools, my assistant director, Sarah B. Miller, and myself wandered into a closed gymnasium that was full of broken pianos.
And just sitting there in the gymnasium?
Yeah, because what had happened, this was in a school in South Philadelphia that was kind of the repository, the warehouse, that a lot of the instruments from across the district got pushed into because the district was kind of clearing them out so they could be sold. And when we walked in there and saw that, it was kind of the tip of the iceberg. We're wondering, okay, well, if there's this many of these, how many more are there? And that's when we started talking to Frank Makos, who's the director of music education at the School District of Philadelphia. And it was from there that we started to understand the scope of the problem. And to put it into financial terms, back in 2007, there was a budget of $1.3 million to support music education across the school district. But you roll the clock ahead just 10 years, and now the budget is about $50,000.
$50,000.
For the entire school district. So you can imagine, you know, a child stumbles in marching band practice or the bridge on a violin snaps, that's just one less instrument for a kid to play in the schools. And it was under that understanding and talking to music teachers really throughout the district, what they would always say is, you know, I have kids coming through my doors every day who are so excited to play music, but unfortunately I just can't give them one that works. And what we began to learn was that the teachers had been kind of stockpiling these instruments for years in the hopes that one day their budgets would be restored. And so they had really instrument graveyards in their storerooms, their cupboards, their basements, all across the schools. And we started to ask them, would you bring them to us? And we'll try to figure out a way to repair them.
Well, let me get our school teacher here, Selena Valles, and she has brought some instruments with her. Maybe Selena, and we have John Ahrens, who's going to be handing you some of these instruments, and it looks like you are about to get a violin. First of all, thank you for joining us today on Radio Times, and tell us about this violin.
So this instrument comes from G.W. Childs Elementary School in the Point Breeze section of the city. It is a violin that is missing its fingerboard, so you would normally put your fingers on, there's like a huge gap, and there's only two strings on it. It was actually strung as a viola, which has the same body and shape as a violin, but the strings are much lower to give it a deeper sound. So without the fingerboard, it makes it very interesting to play.
Oh, wow.
I promise I'm a professional.
Yeah, and so you're sliding
really
your finger. Right.
Yeah, but for a child, this would be impossible to play. It would hurt their fingers way too much. And without access to quality instruments, it's really difficult to get our next generation of musicians.
Are you going to be performing on Sunday night?
Yes, I'm also a
section
leader. And
what will you be playing?
I will be playing this instrument.
This
particular instrument is my instrument. I took it because I've had, in my classes, fingerboards pop off. I've had bridges pop off. And there's a lot that you can learn how to jerry-rig on the fly when you're a music teacher, but there's some things that are just irreparable.
Well, I'm curious about, as a musician yourself, I mean, you can look at a broken instrument and say, well, this is not playable. This is a broken instrument. do you hear and see possibilities in
Absolutely.
This broken instrument?
So the structure of this, it really has some great structural integrity. There have been other examples that we've brought that are completely destroyed. There's cellos with holes in them. There are trumpet bells that have been crushed. There are missing valves and some other instruments which can be repaired, but without it, you can't make the traditional sounds.
Yeah.
So instead, what we've done is that we take, with the help of the Found Sound people, we have found different ways of being able to play these instruments.
All right, you should describe what you have.
For example, right now I have a clarinet that has some broken keys in it, so it won't be able to make all of the tones that it normally would make. It's super, super squeaky. However, if you listen carefully, we can still use those keys that are still broken to make other sounds. And that's really part of this symphonic work, is that we're using these instruments in non-traditional ways. We've gone
and... Is that hard?
It was so hard for me as a professional musician.
I mean, to go
from
something that feels predictable and perhaps even melodic...
Well, that's really one of the interesting things about this piece. This piece has a lot of times in it where you're encouraged to play the instruments in different ways. There's a cello that the sound post has fallen, and there are no strings on it. So we just roll around the instrument so that you can hear the rattling of this sound post that's inside. You hear the clickety-clack of different instruments that have valves or that have keys. And so it's wonderful to be able to show my students, to show the people in the orchestra, and to show the audience that there's music all around us if you're looking hard enough.
That's so interesting. Is this, Rob, is this what you envisioned as you thought, well, maybe we'll do a symphony for broken instruments? Or was that your idea? Or you just thought there's something playable in these broken instruments?
I think what this project and with the upcoming concert will allow for is a chance for the city to get an understanding of the scope of the problem. And that was really important for us, is that this would be a moment where all of Philadelphia and all the musicians from all different stripes and worlds of the music industry of Philadelphia can come together to understand where the scope of this problem is really going. And that was, I think, one of the fundamental, I guess I could say, benefits of doing this project, is that we're getting members of the Philadelphia Orchestra to sit side by side with a 12-year-old. Because when you hand them each broken instruments, there's a leveling that goes on that I think connects them in a way to music beyond just what it is the instrument can actually do or not do.
And how did you get David Lang involved? He's a Pulitzer Prize-winning composer. How did he get involved in this project?
David was in many ways the easiest catch.
Really?
I sent him a message, and he responded within 5 minutes.
He said, sign me up?
Yes. David himself is a product of public education, and he, in many ways, I think, kind of sees public education as his foot in the door to learning what he now understands music can be. And so it was from that invitation of saying, would you be interested to do something with the broken instruments of Philadelphia in the public schools, that he definitely wanted to sign on right away.
You have another instrument there, Selena.
Yeah.
And I thank you for bringing in all these instruments.
So what I have in here right now in my hands is a flute. It's a Gemeinhardt flute, so it's a good quality flute. But there are broken keys inside that, or broken rods and springs, I should say, which makes it really hard to produce a sound here.
So inside the flute, there are broken.
There are keys and rods inside here that help move the pads up and down. And when a spring goes off, it literally has cut in half the ability of the flute. Only the bottom section works, and not the top half. And there are several instruments that we have in the collection that are like that, where part of it will work, or there's a limited range, maybe, per se.
Tell us about the students at your school, Pan American Academy Charter School.
Sure. So Pan American Academy Charter School is now celebrating its 10th year. We have 753 students. It is one of the city's few bilingual schools. It's also an IB World School, so we are host to the primary years program, as well as the middle school program from the International Baccalaureate people. My students are very lucky that I'm employed there full time, and we have a full time art teacher. And because of that, I'm able to do so many more things with my students. I see them from K to 8, so that's 9 years that we're together. I currently have a violin, I call them Virtuoso Violin Club. We meet on our common lunch. on 1 week, once a week. And I have 15 students because in my 10 years of teaching, I've been able to collect from donations and from buying at thrift stores and whatnot, 15 violins. But I always have a wait list of students that want to get in, students that beg me. There are currently right now 8 students on the wait list. But music has been playing a very important part in not in my life and in the, my students' lives. And we're hoping that through quality music education programs, we can keep on creating these the next generation of musicians. And I think that this piece highlights that you can have a very wide range of what does it mean to be a musician.
Well, and I love the idea of members, Rob, of the Philadelphia Orchestra sitting next to a 15-year-old or an 8-year-old or an amateur musician who sees the possibilities in this instrument that they're holding?
No, it's definitely. I mean, I think it's historically renowned and understood that Philadelphia's orchestra, at one point, many musicians came from the public schools, and now increasingly that's becoming more of a challenge. And so I know specifically speaking with Joseph Conyers, who plays principal bass in the orchestra, he's terribly excited to play in the concert because he sees this as the introduction to what will hopefully be one of his colleagues. So, yeah, it's a nice story for him.
Let me get, looks like Pam from Cherry Hill, New Jersey, to join our conversation. Hi, Pam. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi.
Hi there.
Thanks for taking my call.
You're very welcome.
I adopted one of your instruments.
Oh, thank you so much.
That's great. Thank you.
I adopted a flute, and the reason is I have a 10-year-old who is, he's in fifth grade, and he happens to play the flute. And so, you know, I read the article in the Inquirer, must have been last winter or spring, and it just broke my heart to think that all these instruments could not be played by children who were waiting to play instruments. So I live in Cherry Hill, and we have a pretty robust music program. And so I was glad and honored to help in a small
That's
way
great.
That I could.
Good for
thank
you, Pam.
You so
thank
much.
You so much.
In
thank
fact,
you.
When I opened
you're
up,
welcome.
Yeah, thanks. No, go ahead.
When I opened up my violin, I found a note in there from 2007, and it was from Mr. Saidi, apparently a string teacher, and it said, you know, please bring in $6.50 so you can get your music book. And I just wanted to cry because that meant that since 2007, this instrument has been in such disrepair that no one has been able to learn to play the violin since that 10 years. And in 10 years, we could have produced how many musicians out of this one instrument? So I'm really glad that we are tackling this problem and that there's been so much awareness. The public support has been amazing. You can still adopt some instruments. There are several instruments that are still available for adoption. And it's really been exciting to see people from the community, parents. I was conducting one of the rehearsals, and I had two sets of parents there with their kids, and it was great to see them sitting side by side and learning how to try and read the score because it's a different kind of a
like
score.
And what does the score look like?
So the score, I counted it up. There are literally only 71 bars of music in the score, and it goes on for like 12 pages. And most of it is just written. Most of it is instructions saying, play it softly, or go wild and crazy, or everyone can come in at a different time. And so that creating melody and music and a cohesive unit out of such random parts, I think, speaks to the nature of the instruments, speaks to David's amazing, the composer David Lang's amazing ability to create sound and camaraderie and a piece of art out of this seeming chaos.
And Rob, where will you be Sunday night?
I'll be in the audience hoping that all goes well. I'm not very musical myself, but no, I'm really handing it over in many ways as often as I can to the musicians themselves because they really are the spirit of the project, as well as the people who have been choosing to adopt instruments.
How does someone do that?
It's very simple. You just simply go on to our website, 74brokenorchestra.org, and you'll see like a cascading sheet of instruments. Some of them have big hearts on them that say, I'm adopted. Other ones don't. And for those that don't, you can read about those instruments. You can listen to what they sound like now in their broken state. And then you can choose to adopt. All money goes directly to the fund for the School District of Philadelphia. And that money will go directly then to instrument repairs and replacements.
This was also you're the art director of Temple Contemporary.
Yes.
I finally said that correctly there. but you also use this as an exhibition, right?
Well, yeah. Again, it's that idea of trying to see the scope of the problem And so lining our walls with all of these broken instruments, when people walked in, you couldn't help but be moved by the sense of recognizing that each of those instruments represents a kid who yet doesn't have that ability to be able to play music.
But also represents the history of that instrument. I mean, whether someone tripped and fell when they were in a marching band, or whether it just got used and played and played and played and played until it couldn't be played anymore.
Some of these instruments are antiques, going back to, I believe, the 20s. So they've been used for generations of musicians throughout the school district. So really important, I think, cultural artifacts of our commitment to music in the public schools. And we hope to continue that.
Cillian, how are you going to prepare for Sunday night's
performance? I'm super excited. I'm going to read through my score again, of course. There are a few little things that I need to touch up on the instrument, but it has just been wonderful to sit side by side to some of these musicians and to go through this journey together.
Yeah. Well, it's a terrific project, and I thank you both for coming in, and I thank you both for your involvement in the project. Symphony for a Broken Orchestra will be having its debut this Sunday night at the 23rd Street Armory in Philadelphia. And joining us, Rob Blackson, and he is the art director for Temple Contemporary. Rob, thank you for coming into Radio Times.
Thank you, Marty.
And also with us, Selena Velez, and she's a music teacher at Pan American Academy Charter School. Thank you, Selena, for coming in as well. And also check out a video that we will be posting later today on our Facebook page of some of the instruments that we were talking about on the radio. Go to whyy.org/radiotimes to find out much more about this program. Adam Staniszewski, the engineer for today's edition of Radio Times, the show produced by Debbie Bilder, John Ahrens, and Trinae Nuri. I'm Marty Moss-Cohen. Thank you for joining us.